I want to talk today about a new normal. I mean, I'm sure you've realized it by now, but we are in a new season, and very quickly, everything that we knew once as normal has now changed, and we're in a new normal. I think it's safe to say if we had mentioned lockdown a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, or even last year, it would have been ridiculous. And now it has become what we're used to. It's just like what we do every day. Can I tell you that it's been 7 weeks? I think it's been about 7 weeks now in lockdown. That's nearly the length of the whole summer that people have been off, that you typically be off for summer from school. The kids have been home. People have been trying to homeschool. Keep praying for those that are homeschooling. It is not easy. You know, we're trying to get our kids up in the morning. We're trying to keep them moving. We're trying to get them to bed. You're trying to get out and work. Maybe you're working on the front lines. You're trying to get out. You're probably worrying about your own health, protection for your own family. But we are in different days, and it's a new day. And unfortunately, you can't resist it. You've got to get stuck into it, and you've got to see what's going on, and you've got to move with it. But today, we're going to talk about being in a new normal. Amen. Life has changed. It has changed. And there are good things, and then there are bad things. And I wrote down just a couple of things that maybe we don't like. We don't like COVID-19. I know we're in a new normal, but we don't like COVID-19, and that's why we're actively praying against it. Second thing, people are getting sick, and unfortunately, some people are dying. We don't like that part. And then lastly, no one likes the lockdown. I mean, there's some elements that are good, but we all want to be free, don't we? We want to be free. But then I did write down some good stuff, because there's good in the midst of bad always. And the first one is life has slowed down. I mean, could you imagine if a few weeks ago, and maybe your life was hectic, and maybe your life was crazy, and maybe you'd said to me, or I'd said to you, you know, maybe you should slow down. You know, maybe you should take a bit easier. I mean, I would probably turn around and say, well, but you don't understand. I'd love to, and maybe laugh it off, and well, that's all well and good, but how can we? And so we wouldn't have believed it. But now, this is where we find ourselves. Life has slowed down. Or maybe a few weeks ago, if I had asked you the question, where are you with God? You'd be like, well, hey, you know, and maybe made a few excuses. But then maybe you'd have been totally honest with me and you'd have said, well, hey, you know what? I actually don't really need him. So I'm not really looking for him. But maybe just maybe things have changed. And now you're like, wow, what is life really all about? Maybe you're asking bigger questions. And maybe you're saying, wow, is there a God? Do I need a God? Like, where can I put my trust? Where can I put my hope? And so even in the midst of this season, they're still good. Life has slowed down. Families are coming together. Now, I know you're thinking, Islam, is that a good or a bad thing? We're getting to spend more time together as families. Hopefully you're Ryan less. Let's pray for that. Hopefully you're getting on. But in the midst of that, it's good, because sometimes we're just like passing ships in the night. We don't get to see our kids much. We don't get to spend much time with them. Maybe if you things have got hectic, then we're going to pray for you and encourage and believe that maybe you're going to get some space in between to spend more time with your family. But for a large part of us, we're getting more family time. What else are we getting? We're becoming united. I mean, that's always a great thing. There is unity. It feels like there's unity right across the world because we want to beat this virus. I mean, one of the amazing things that's happening is the community spirit. It feels like neighbors are starting to talk again to each other. Just chatting to someone the other day, they were saying, we're going down our street, just walking to the end of the street, and we must have talked to everybody on the row. We haven't talked to everybody in the row in ages. It felt like no one had time, everyone was busy, but people were out in their gardens, they were talking, they were up for a chat, and there was community spirit. Community spirit is rising. And most importantly, maybe the good out of this is that we're starting to rethink what's really important and what we should keep and what we should let go of. I mean, this is the part that gets really interesting. Maybe you've started to think, wow, you know what? Maybe a deeper question is, do I really want to go back? You know, if this thing's all over tomorrow, of course we want the end of COVID-19. But in terms of this lifestyle and this new season, this lockdown that's been thrust upon us, there's been a lot of good. And maybe the bigger question for you is, do I really want to go back? Maybe it's made you think of, right, there's certain things I want to keep, and then there's certain things I want to change. Like, I'm not prepared to work 24/7 just for money or for finance, because I believe there's bigger things. I believe there's richer things. I believe there's more important things. And in this season, in this new normal, there is a new way to think. And today, my encouragement is, what's the opportunity that's presented in front of you? What's the opportunity that you have found yourself in, whether it been come from a bad place of like, I've lost, and then what am I going to do next? See it as a fresh opportunity of like, where can I go to? What's the way I could restart? And I am encouraging us today, wherever we find ourselves, maybe this will be a great time to restart. What do you need to restart? What do you need to restart? Maybe it's family time. Maybe it's work-life balance. Maybe it's just like, I want to get out and do some more things that I enjoy. Maybe it's hobbies. Or maybe it's, I want to restart my walk with God. Maybe you find yourself, I'm not a Christian. This would be a great time to make a massive change in your life, to seize the moment and to accept Jesus. It would be life-changing forever. But I believe this is a moment in time that we will never get back. This is like days that we've never seen before, probably never see again. What's the opportunity that you need to grab? What's the opportunity that I need to grab? Here's what God's been putting in my heart. If I'm a Christian, which I am, what if I decided to go all in like never before? What if I decided that I'm going to commit to Him in ways that I've never done before? Because I want to seize this moment. I want to grab this opportunity. And so I started to think about opportunity. And here's the important note about opportunity before we go any further. Opportunity by itself, it means nothing. Because opportunity not seized, you may as well never had the opportunity at all. Opportunity is like a door. You've got to choose to go through it. Opportunity is an opportunity. Opportunity is presented to us, but if we don't take it, if we don't grab a hold of it, if we don't take charge of it, if we don't contend for it, if we don't do something with it, we may well have never had it at all. I was watching something this week about Michael Jordan. I want to tell you the story. Michael Jordan, if you don't know, really famous basketball player, still alive, doesn't play any longer. But some regard him, in fact, most do, as the greatest player that ever played basketball. Just incredible guy. But the story goes that whenever he was much younger, in his teenage years, he was at high school, and he was trying out for the team. He wanted to be part of the team. And you know what the coaches said? They said, well, not too bad, but not that great. In fact, not. You're not going to make the team. And so Michael goes home and he says to his mom, and his mom asks him the question. She says, well, look, Michael, do you really want this thing? Is that what you really want? And she knew he did. And he says, of course, basketball is my life. This is what I want. And she says, well, now you've got an opportunity. And she showed him the opportunity. She says, you've got all summer off. You've got a few weeks, you've got a couple of months here. Why don't you train like never before? Why don't you dedicate like never before? Why don't you practice like never before? Eat good, train good, go after this thing. And you prove them wrong when it comes to trying out for the teams again in a few months' time. That's exactly what Michael did. When he went back, not only did he get better, but he grew taller. I think it said that he grew like 3-4 inches over those next few months before the next tryouts. And when he went back, the coaches looked and said, who is this guy? Not only has he got taller, but he's got a whole lot better. At that moment, they said, this is probably one of the best players we've ever seen. That's what his coaches said. From a moment of despair and defeat, like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to fulfill my dreams, to the next moment of, wow, you're one of the best we've ever seen. In fact, maybe you are the best we've ever seen. And he goes on to be the best. I mean, we've got to see opportunity. And when we see it, we've got to take it. Because if we don't, we miss it. And it might not be there ever again. So here we have opportunity. What are we going to do with it? And I'm urging you today, and I'm encouraging you today, when it comes to the things of God, grab a hold of them. If you're not a Christian, take it. Ask Jesus into your life. If you are a Christian, what if we decided to go for Him like never before? I wrote down a couple of what ifs that I want to grab our attention with. What if in this moment we decided to really draw close to God? You know, I'm trying to put it into context, into language that we really understand. And I'm not necessarily talking about loads of time, but if you are working from home and you used to drive into your job, then you definitely have the time that you would spend driving to work. You've got that time. Redeem it. Grab a hold of it. If you don't have the time, try to maybe look at some of the areas that you've had to cut back on. You can't go to the gym. So redeem that time and spend it with God. But what if we used this moment and we drew closer to God than ever before in our lives, in a practical sense, and spent more time with Him? What if we drew closer to God? What if we asked them for help? What if we simply just got on our knees in the mornings, or we just got a prayer time with God, and we just said on a regular basis, God, show me where I need to change. God, reveal to me the areas in my life where I'm just not really moving in the way that I know you want me to. Because what I have found is that I can see it in you. I can see it. I can point it out, but I don't want to be mean, or don't want to be hurtful, or I'm trying to be kind, but I struggle to see it in me. And yet you could probably tell me all day. So I need God to reveal it to me, and I need His help. Why don't you ask Him for help? Third thing, why don't we take this opportunity, and what if we decided to repent of those silly sins that have been tripping us up for years? What if we decided to say, God, look, would you reveal to me what sin's going on in my life? Now, I know we'll never be perfect, but what about those repetitive sins? What about those silly sins? What about those sins that we're unaware of that God wants to reveal to us, that's really holding us back from seizing the opportunity and really going deeper? What if we're simply just self-sabotaging ourselves by the choices that we're making? God, would you reveal them to us? And then fourthly, what if we ask him to remove our lukewarm feelings? Imagine that. What if we just say, God, would you just take away those lukewarm feelings? Those feelings where I say to myself, I just won't feel like it. You know, I really want to pray, but I don't feel like it. I want to read, but I'm not feeling it. You know, I love to pray for you, but I'm just not feeling it. I mean, may not say it always out loud, but that's really what's going on in our heads. What if we give him our feelings and we say, God, I want to hand that over to you because I'm fed up with being lukewarm. Here's my heart. What if we decided to never be the same again? What if we decided to grab hold of this new normal and say, we're going to grab this opportunity and we're going to say yes to him and we're going to rededicate and we're going to say, God, have all of me afresh because I want to go after you in ways that I've never done before because I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be half in, half out. I don't want to miss this opportunity. My heart's desire is for you, but I've got to do something practically. I've got to do something with my life to get closer to you. And so I'm ready to go deeper. God, I really want to start living radically in your presence and in your power every day. What about that for desire? What about that for a heartfelt devotion and a heartfelt want to go after the things of God like never before? I want to read an amazing story today. I love this story as well. Acts chapter 3. So we're going to read it together in a moment, but let me just set the scene. It's the story of a lame beggar and two radical guys, just two guys on fire for God. It was like the story of what happens when a lame beggar's just sitting by the way and two radical on fire people for Jesus come along. I mean, something's going to change. Something's going to happen. And that's what takes place in this story. But the point of the story and really the heart of it is like, what would it look like when we get more fired up like ever before and we get out into the world? What would the difference be that we would make? What would be the lasting impact that we would have on people's lives? And how would we look at the rules of life and we would simply go, wow, I think that could be changed. I think that person could be healed. I think this could be different because there's a supernatural working through us. There's the power of God working through us. And our mind is not thinking the way it used to always think. Like in the old days, I'm in a new normal. I'm in a new season. I'm in a new day. And I want to think and act more like Jesus. So let's read the story together. Acts chapter 3. Again, if you've got your Bibles, grab them. It's on the screen, but I love it. Take notes as well. Write it down. I encourage you, take notes like never before. It's such a great way to grow in the things of God. Reading and taking notes, praying, worshiping, but taking notes just helps it to get really deep into our hearts. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Verse 4, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Now I love this because it's like, The beggar has looked at them. He's kind of saw them, but then they say, look at us. It's like, then they notice him and their noticing is different than his notice. It's like, we've locked horns and we're getting excited because we know what God can do through us and we've noticed you and you're never going to be the same again. It's like that moment of like, oh my goodness, anything can happen. They're getting excited. It's like kids in a sweet shop. What on earth could we get? We've got a limited resource or unlimited resource. We've got all our mom's money. We've taken it and we're going to buy whatever we found. But they've gotten this situation and their eyes are lighting up. They're like, wow, God is on us. The Holy Spirit is moving through us. We've just spotted somebody. We're going to see something incredible take place today. And look what happens next. It says, then Peter said, look at us. Verse 5, so the man gave them his attention. I think this is really key. So we note that the man saw them, and then it says he gave them their attention. That's a bit like the opportunity. I mean, you can see it, but then you've got to go take it. You can see the door, but you've got to walk through it. You can see the moment, but you've got to seize it. I mean, Michael got told, you're not going to make it. Then his mum gave him an opportunity, and he took the summer, and he got better, and he grabbed that opportunity by the scruff of the neck. This is almost like they're helping this guy see the opportunity. It's like he's seen them, but they need him to get their attention, and they need him to grab their attention. He needs full attention on them, because something incredible is going to take place. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Love this. He knew something was coming. Now, he didn't know what was coming, but he knew something was coming, or at least he hoped. Then verse 6, Peter then said, silver or gold do I not have? And I mean, at that moment, he probably sunk. He probably like, well, that's all I want. You know what I'm saying? That's all I want. But what we do have, we give it to you. In the name, get ready for this line. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. I mean, these words just changed everything. Now think about it. This guy has been born lame. This is all he's known. This has been his normal. And in that moment, a new normal hit his life and he was never the same again. He sat at a gate beautiful and suddenly this became his story. A beautiful miracle happens in his life because two guys spotted him, because two guys got excited in faith, and because two guys said, look at us, something's going to happen. And they spoke the name of Jesus. And everything changed. Can I tell you, wherever you find yourself, I'm encouraging you to do something. I'm encouraging you to get active in the opportunity. I'm encouraging you to seize the moment. But I'm telling you, bigger than all of that, better than all of that, is speaking the name of Jesus. Because without that, it's just behavior change or life change or something practical. But when we speak the life of Jesus, everything changes. Once they spoke his name over this man, everything that was dead came alive. It's incredible. And it's the same for us today. What's dead in your life? What is dead in your life? In fact, what if you're sitting by this gate beautiful and you're a Christian? What if you're sitting there and the gate might be called beautiful, but your life is not looking beautiful because there needs to be a change take place in your life because you got saved. You give your life to Jesus, but it feels like you're just on level. It's just like, I'm not even sure what's going on. In fact, you know what? I wouldn't even be confident to share my faith. I'm not sure I'd even want to. I'm not even really praying much. In fact, where I once was, I'm nowhere close to it any longer. What if you're literally sitting there as if you're the lame beggar? You're not able to really run in your faith. You're not able to really go in your faith. And the guys that are moving are going into the temple and they're rejoicing and you're simply sitting there. Or maybe, just maybe, you're sitting there and you are the lame beggar because you've never had your life renewed. You've never fully saw him. You've never fully known him. And yet today, in this moment when we pray at the end, if you cry out to him, if you ask him for help, if you grab attention of what I'm saying today, then your life will never be the same again because that name changes everything. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he did. Get ready for it. Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, they helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Could you imagine? Please, let's just pass this by. I know we know the song. I know we've learned in Sunday school for years, or at least a lot of us have, and maybe you've never heard of it. But let's reset for a moment. He's never walked. He's never probably even thought about walking because he's never known to walk. So why would you even think about it? It's a dream in a far off distance that you don't want to dare to believe because it feels like it's not even possible. And now in this moment, it felt like it was just going to be a day like every other day. And you meet these two guys on fire for God, radical for the things of God. They speak Jesus' name and this guy is never the same again. They lift him by the hand. And as they lift him, it's like instantly his ankles become strong. His legs become strong. He's never stood before. He's never walked before. He's always been lame. And can you imagine what's going on in his heart and mind? I tell you what, he is like flipping out. It says he begins to dance. That is the joy that God brings to us. Can I tell you that what he has done inside of your life, you might not have been able to see any broken legs. You might not be able to see any legs that didn't work, but inside we did not work. In fact, we were dead and then we came alive in Christ. When that name, when we spoke that name, we were that lame beggar. And then suddenly we started to dance. Suddenly we started to rejoice. Suddenly we started to jump for joy because when we were once dead, now we became alive. Wow, no greater contrast than that. And for this guy, he sat for a lifetime. He probably thought it would never happen, never dared to dream. And in one moment, when the name of Jesus was spoke, his life was never the same again. Come on, you need to do a bit of a dance or a praise this morning wherever you find yourself, because this is good news. It said he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Wow. He never jumped to his feet before. He'd never walked before. He never even thought it was possible before. But suddenly a new normal had happened. Verse 9, when all the people saw him. Oh, sorry, before that, I'm getting too excited. Then he went with them into the temple courts. He'd never been there before, walking and jumping and praising. Oh my goodness, this day is incredible. Verse 9, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him. Wow, the people noticed him. I said, well, we know this guy. That's the guy we give money to every day. Was he faking it? I don't know. Maybe they did. But I tell you what, I think they were overjoyed because they were like, we know his story. We know he was the real deal. He sat there every day. He begged every day. He had no choice. He had no other option. And some days I felt sorry for him. But oh my goodness, what has happened? He is walking. He is rejoicing. He is praising. This is incredible. They recognized him as the same man who sat begging day after day at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What a story, guys. Come on, what a story. Now, here's my heart for you today, is that this is what God's calling us to. This is what he's calling to. There are people out there that are literally lying at the side of the road and they need a miracle. There are people literally out there. Ian has been telling me he's went to families of 10 kids, nothing left. They ate cereal for the last 2 weeks and they're out. We've had the guys from Monon, families of 8, families of 10, just crazy. They've been eating cereal. It seems to be a common thing. They got nothing left. They're eating the last few bits of the cupboards and then somebody's coming along and making a difference. Now, we're making a difference practically, but our whole heart and our whole desire is to see people's lives transformed spiritually, because that's the real truth. And if you're watching today and your life has not been transformed and you're still trying to make it through and you're just trying to get through every day, you're never going to make it. Let me just tell you the truth. You're never going to make it. You're never going to get to where you want to. You're never going to walk the way you want to. You're never going to jump. You're never going to praise. Unless you ask Jesus, nothing's going to change. It's just going to be your normal forever. But the moment you ask him, everything changes. Guys, we need to get this. If you're a Christian, we need to get this. We can make a difference in people's lives. If you're not a Christian, you need to get this. Jesus wants to transform your life. He has come. This is his heart for us today. I want us to learn a few lessons. Lessons from the beggar. Let's look at it. There are lessons that we can learn. This was his normal life. He'd never known anything else before. He'd never walked. Now he has. He always went to the temple, but he never got to go in. He just never got to be part of the party. He never got to be fully in. This is all he ever got. He got to the edge and no further. Today he gets to walk in because his life was changed by Jesus. He tried to raise a few quid. I mean, this is all he's really asking for. Do you know what? Do you think about it? He was never asking people, could I be healed every day? Or could I get my life? Or could I jump? Or could I praise? No, he never thought that because it was never normal for him. All he thought about was money. If I could just make it through. In fact, all he was ever doing was surviving. Surviving. Maybe you're just surviving. Even as a Christian, maybe you're just surviving. And God says, I need you to thrive. In fact, I died for so much more. I died to give you an abundant life. Guys, we need to know this today. But unless we see the opportunity and walk through the door and grab a hold of it and train hard and go after this thing and allow the Holy Spirit to move through us, we're going to miss it. And then we may as well never have the opportunity, and we're not going to make a lasting difference in people's lives. But if you don't know Jesus, then the opportunity is there for you today to say yes to him. And your life can go from just trying to make it, just trying to get through, just trying to live, and maybe that's the way you find yourself, to abundance. And I'm not saying everything's going to work out perfect, but what I am saying is Jesus is going to transform your life. And whenever he transforms you, you're going to come alive in ways that you never knew. And then suddenly the struggles that you're going through, he's with you. Suddenly the opposition that you're facing, he's helping you to overcome. Suddenly the ways that you thought, he's giving you new ways to think. And the old deadness that was inside of you has now come alive and you're truly living. That is what you need. Moving from surviving to thriving. That's God's heart for your life. I wonder if this guy had got to the point in his life where he'd said to himself, surely this is all that I can ever expect in my life. Surely this is it. Somebody will pick me up. Maybe a couple of people picks me up every day. They drop me off at the gate. I mean, I never get to go in. But at the end of the day, it could be worse. I could be starving to death. I always get a few quid. Always get some money. Some people are quite nice to me. Some people don't notice me. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. I wonder how he got to the place of, this is all there is for me. I wonder how he got to the place of, this is as good as it's ever going to get. Can I tell you, it would have been until those two guys walks in. Two guys. It would have been until Peter and John walks in, and then everything changes. Can I tell you, your life's going to stay the same. It might go up or down a tiny bit, but it's going to stay the same until Jesus comes. And Jesus is here today, and he wants to come into your life, and he wants to transform you. And if you're a Christian, he wants you to make a difference. He needs you to make a difference, because there are too many people lying at the side of the road when they should be praising in the temple. Amen? And this is our job, and this is our desire, and this is our privilege. This is what he's calling us to. So, some lessons from the beggar. But what about some lessons from the guys? Let's say some guy from these two guys. Some lessons from them. I think one of the most important things to note is that they noticed them. They noticed them. Guys, we need to notice people more. We need to notice what's going on around us more. We can't be just locked into, like, you know, this is my thing, this is my thing. We've got to notice people more, and we've got to see what's going on. They noticed the guy's need, and they recognized the need. They recognized that they hadn't got what would take to sort the need, but they knew Jesus could. They were able to see past his most immediate need, and they saw his most important need. They saw the need of priority. They saw he needed his life transformed. He needed healing. He needed resurrection. He needed a transformation. He didn't need just more money to keep on living the way he was living. That's not transformation. That's just sustaining. And God wants us more than that. God wants to transform us. He wants us to thrive and thrive in abundance wherever we find ourselves, because his favor is ready and his favor wants to come upon us. So they noticed them, and I think that's vitally important. They spotted the guy, they noticed the guy, and they took their time with them, because Peter and John had changed. Everything had changed for them. They had changed. They had stepped into a new normal. Let me give you the story. We're in Acts chapter 3, but if we go back to Acts chapter 2, this is what happens. Their lives forever changed because of Acts chapter 2. They had been with Jesus. They had got filled with the Spirit, and their lives were no longer the same because they decided to go forward. They decided to take what they'd heard from the Master. They decided to take what had happened inside of them through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they started to see people the way Jesus saw them, with compassion, with love, with we can make a difference. And they decided to step forward. And I love what happens when they do. It says, we need to be people that see people. We need to be people that take notice. This is what they decided. We have made a decision. And maybe we need to do this today in our hearts. We've decided we're going to step out in faith. Verse 7 tells us, taking him by the right hand, we helped him up. And instantly the man's feet became strong, and he began to dance. They decided to step out in faith. That's what we need to do as Christians. We have to step out. We have to be vulnerable. We have to take risks. We have to engage with people. And we have to step into moments that if God doesn't show up, this thing's just going to get weird. This thing's just going to get embarrassing. But it's going to be okay, because he is for us. And he is so desperate to make a difference in people's lives. But if we're constantly living in fear, we're like, oh, I can do that. I can do this. We're never going to step into those opportunities that God has already planned for us. They decided he's done so much for us. They've decided we're not content to be the same anymore. They have decided we're going after him. So they decided we're going to step out. We're going to step in faith. We're actually going to risk some stuff. And we're actually going to put God to the test, in a sense. We're going to say, okay, it's time to get up, because we've heard God's voice. He said to stop. We've decided to listen to that. And we've decided to pray. And a man's life was never the same again. Third thing, we want to make a difference in the world for Jesus. We've got to get to a point in our lives where we decide we want to make a difference. We've got to make a difference. This is who we are. This is our DNA. This is what we have decided because of what Jesus has done in our lives. Fourthly, we have the authority of heaven. They understood that they had the authority. Can I tell you, as a Christian today, you have the authority, but authority not exercised, it's like opportunity. You might as well not have it, because if you don't exercise it, there's no point having authority. If you're not going to exercise the authority, then it's never going to work. No one's going to listen. No one is going to listen. No one's going to take any heed, and it won't make any difference to the world around you. You have kingdom authority. You have God's authority. We've got to step out into it. And so Acts chapter 2 changed it. And this is my last point today, and I want to encourage it with encourage you with this as we finish. What happened to those guys is the same thing that can happen to us. When they met the Holy Spirit and they met Jesus, their lives are never the same. Remember, Peter and John, they spent time with Jesus. And then Jesus says to them, you've got to wait in the upper room until the Holy Spirit comes. Because here's what we said, and we said it already today. Good works without his power are never going to make a lasting difference. But when we have his anointing, and when we have his power, when we have the Holy Spirit, then suddenly he's our comforter. Suddenly he's our reminder. Suddenly he's our transformer. Suddenly he's our leader. Suddenly he's our Jesus. And he leads us and he guides us. So the Holy Spirit is what we need, and it's who we need, because he is a person and he needs to be active in our lives for us to really make a lasting difference. Otherwise, it's like we're constantly fighting against ourselves. Otherwise, we're constantly trying to do it in our own strength. And if you tried that, it's exhausting and it very rarely works. We need his help. So Acts chapter 2 changed everything. But it's what happens near the end of Acts chapter 2 that made the difference in every way. And it's where I want to get to today. Acts chapter 2 at the beginning, you know the story. The Holy Spirit, it says, Peter preaches, he says, we've got to wait here because this is the day. The Holy Spirit is coming upon us. And then the Holy Spirit moves. It says the Holy Spirit comes upon them. He empowers them. He transforms them. And what they had in measure now starts to overflow. It's like what they had at salvation now bursts its banks. It's that stream turns into a river, and now suddenly they have the power and the authority just like Jesus had. It's not like as if they're just timid moving through, knowing, yeah, we belong to Jesus. It's now they're powerful. They are strong and they understand the power of the Holy Spirit because he is flowing through them and he is moving in their lives, and they've said yes to him in the same way as they said yes to Jesus. They're giving him their whole lives and he is leading them. And when we get to the latter part of the verses, suddenly things are never the same again. Verse 42 is where it gets really interesting. It says this, Acts chapter 2 verse 42, they devoted themselves to all the ways of God, or to all the apostles' teaching, or to everything that Jesus had taught them. They decided, do you know what? Not only are we going to get saved, not only are we going to get filled with the Spirit, but we're actually going to live this thing out. We're actually going to go after this thing. We're going to be the disciples that Jesus has called us to be. We're going to be just like him. We're actually going to be his hands and his feet. We're going to step in their community and we're going to make a difference. Now, I know that seems simple and I know that seems like of course, but for most of us, that's the bit where we get stuck. We get filled with the Spirit. We get saved. We start to read a bit. We start to pray a bit and we start to go through life. But the actual part of stepping in and making a difference in our community, it's like we forget that part, or we'll say we get to it one day, or making a difference in somebody's life, or making an impact in a workplace. We never seem to get to that part truly successfully. And yet without getting to that part, we miss all of it and we don't fully seize all of the life that God's got for us. Because if you're going to see those lame beggars walk, then you're going to have to encounter people. You're going to have to be bold to pray. You're going to have to be bold to see past their immediate need, to see their main need. You're going to have to see past. You're going to have to pray big. You're going to have to believe big. And you're not going to be able to whip this stuff up. You ever tried that? You said, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to whip this thing up. You're not going to be able to. You've got to cultivate this lifestyle. It's like a garden. You've got to grow it gradually and slowly, or at least give it to God, and then he'll decide to make it rapid or accelerate at whatever speed he chooses or he decides. But you're not just going to whip it up. You've got to be walking closely with him, empowered and active in the Holy Spirit, and day by day just pursuing him more and more and more, and responding and responding, because this is your heart's desire and this is the way you want to go. The guys decided, we've got the opportunity. We've seen the Holy Spirit. We've seen what Jesus has done. We're going after this thing. And in verse 42, I believe it's so key. They said, we devoted ourselves. Now, devote is not a gentle word. It's not a simple word. It's not a little word. It's a big word. I mean, we could think of it like this. They decided to please God more than pleasing themselves. They decided to hand over the reins of their lives completely to God and to the people of God rather than themselves. They decided to give up their own desires and their own wants, and they decided to give it to everybody else and to him. They decided to live like true Christians. Amen. This is what they decided. And here was the fallout. I'm going to read some of the things that happened because of the decisions that they made. I want to urge you today to make the same decision. Signs and wonders just became normal. Signs and wonders. Are we wondering why signs and wonders are not flowing? Could it be that we need to start devoting ourselves more in a greater way than ever before? Not in hard works, not in like pushing ourselves into the grind, I must. No, through the rest and the blessing and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we just draw close to Him. And in awe and wonder, we begin to seek Him in ways that we never did before. We start to read faithfully. We start to pray diligently. We start to seek Him. We start to go after Him in a faithful, diligent manner. It's not haphazard. It's not like, boom, where did that, does it speak to me? It's not all about me. It's like, I've decided I'm pursuing God for the end goal of making a difference in the world. That's completely different than I just need Jesus to help me. Completely different. And yet here's what I find. As we go after everybody else, He comes after us. As we begin to pray for everybody else starts to pray for us. As we start to do and give for everybody else, He starts to take care of us. Other people start to take care of us. It's this incredible thing that starts to happen. It's called the kingdom of God. It's the way He always planned it. It's the way He always designed it. Let's follow His plans. Let's follow His design. Number one, signs and wonders became normal for the early church. Number two, unity. Who doesn't want unity? It's incredible. God says He can command the blessing when we dwell in unity. We can command it. We can pray. He will flow through us. In unity, what do we mean by that? It's not that everybody thinks the same, but it simply means this. We have diversities. We have disagreements. We even have arguments, but we agree on this one thing. He is our King. He is the one. He is the Lord of our lives. We are united in that. And so therefore, we're going after the same dream. We're going after the same vision. Thirdly, this is big. They sold whatever was needed. Now listen to this. This is what it says at the end of chapter 2. I encourage you to read it later on. End of Acts chapter 2. It says, they sold whatever was needed for the needs of everybody else. They sold whatever was needed. So in other words, they weren't satisfied to have any needs within the community because they knew God supplies all of our needs. And how does He do that? Through me and you. How do we get these beds this week? Of course, ultimately through God, but it was people. It was people that sacrificed. It was people that bought. It was people that gave. It was people that decided, I'm going to give this. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to give the money to supply this. Incredible. People decided to move. God's already moved. He's already blessed us. It's like, are we going to allow it to flow from our lives? That's really the key of this. God's flowing. But will we let it flow from our lives into everybody else's? They love to meet together. Come on, guys. I know we can't meet. Maybe I'm tempting us. Maybe I'm teasing us today. But they love to meet together. It said that they love to meet together in the temple, break bread together, praise, rejoice. Where was Peter and John going that day? They were going to praise and rejoice in the temple because it's Acts chapter 2. In the early manuscripts, there was no chapters. It was just a continuous story. They just got filled with the Spirit. They're going back to the temple because they want more. But as you get more of the things of God, suddenly you start to see more of the things of God. And they spotted a man on the way. And they said, we're not going in yet. We're going to make a difference in his life first. And then when they went in, who went with them? The man did. You see, it's not. Our Christian faith is not about me and you. It's not about just this collect few and this exclusive group just trying to make it all the way through and, you know, shun the world. No, our dream and our goal is that we're going to bring as many as possible with us because this is the best life, because this is the best news, and because the place that we go to is a land that is perfect. It's a land with no sorrow. It's a land with no shame. It's a land with no sickness. It is incredible. It is heaven. I mean, we all know what heaven's like. It's better than that. It is incredible. So our desire and our dream is not only to follow after the things of God, but as we do that, we start to follow. We start to see the lame on the way. We start to see the blind on the way. We start to see the people in need on the way. We just can't walk past. We have to stop and say, I haven't got much silver or gold for you. I know that's what you're kind of after, but what I do have is Jesus. And so in the name of Jesus, be transformed. That is what we can say because we have ultimate authority. We may not have the finances of the world, all that we desire, but we have the authority of heaven as we speak. Let's use our voice. So they love to meet together. They love to meet together in the temple and their homes because they love to have fun. They love to have the crack. I mean, we love to have the crack. You know that. In fact, we love joy. We love to see joy move. We're going to have a praise party like you wouldn't believe in a few weeks' time or a few months' time. Whenever we can, we're going to do it. And we're going to rejoice because God is good, even in the midst of these days. Next one, they couldn't stop praising. They just couldn't stop praising. They were excited for the things of God and they couldn't stop praising. And here's what I want to get to, is gratitude and being grateful. If we never get to gratitude and grateful, more than grumpiness and complaining, then we are stealing from our own lives. We're literally robbing from our own purse. not me, but like, you know, a wallet. If you're a guy, a wallet, okay. We're stealing from our own wallet, or if you're a girl, your own purse, or wherever you keep your money, in your pocket. We're literally stealing from ourselves. Imagine that. Imagine if somebody comes up to you and steals from you. You wouldn't be too happy. But without gratitude and gratefulness in our lives, we are literally stealing from ourselves. What did the early disciples do? They were grateful for everything. We may not have everything we want, but we're so glad for what we do have. We know that God supplies our needs. We know we're going to do this thing. I might have had to sell this, but I got to help you. They were grateful. They were glad. They rejoiced. They were praising. And here's what I love. Right at the end, the last line, one of the most favorite verses of the whole Bible for me, because it's my dream to see this. It says that the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. This is what happens. When we start to live truly like the men and women of God in the kingdom culture that He has designed for us, everything starts to move. Everything starts to flow. Lives get changed. People get transformed. It's not an exclusive group. It starts to affect and change the world like never before. People get saved. Everything changes. And the Lord adds to our number every single day. It's like no one goes with want. No one's lukewarm. No one's cold. No one's drifting. No one's really complaining in a sense. Of course, we're always going to have some kind of gripe. I've always got some kind of gripe. We're getting frustrated over something. But our lives don't look anywhere like what they used to look like. We're not lukewarm. We're not wondering, is this thing real sometimes? We're all in and we're making a difference. Wherever you find yourself, this is my heart's desire for you, that we will be all in and making a difference. Is that not what we want? Is this not the revival that we're after? But if it doesn't start in us, if it doesn't start with a hunger and a flame and a flicker inside of us where we start to pursue God like never before, then it isn't going to happen. Or if it does, you're going to be missed out. It's just that it's going to pass you by because we have to take the opportunity. COVID-19 is here. It's not what we wanted, but the opportunity is here for a large part of us to really seek God like never before. And even if you're busy, find time, because 15 minutes may have been better than all of last year in terms of you spending time with God on a daily basis. Grab whatever time you can. He's able to multiply the littlest thing. We said about last week, whatever it is, He'll take the smallest thing and He will supply. So guys, where do you find yourself? I'll finish off with one last question and then I want to pray. Would we devote ourselves to Him like those early disciples? Would we really devote ourselves like that? We may not fully understand what that is, but simply give it over to Him and say, God, I want to devote myself to you. Help me to learn what that is. Holy Spirit, lead me. Remember, the Holy Spirit is with us. He wants to engage with us and bring us through to show us these things. But maybe you find yourself sitting at this gate and you're thinking, I need Jesus. Maybe you're sitting in your life at this gate on standstill, on hold. Maybe you're in the rock bottom. Maybe you're thinking, my business is never going to go again. I've lost everything. I don't know where you find yourself. But you're sitting and you're not rejoicing and you're definitely not dancing and you're definitely not praising because you know you need something. You need Jesus. We're going to pray today and I want to pray for you if you need Him. He wants to transform your life. He wants to take away your sins. He wants to heal you and restore you. He wants to make you never the same again. The Bible says He wants to make you a brand new creation and give you a brand new start. Come on, let's pray together. Be bold. God, I pray for anyone who needs you today. I pray that right now that they would say yes to you. It's a simple yes, but it will forever change their lives. Jesus, I pray wherever we find ourselves, if we're lost, if we're confused, if we don't know you, right now, would you come into our lives? Would you come into our hearts? Lord, I pray right now that for those that are saying yes to you, that they are letting go of their sin, that they're letting go of their lives, and they're simply saying, Jesus, come and be Lord of my life. I need a new start. I need transformed. I want to follow after you. I need you. Lord, for anyone who's prayed that, for anyone that's done that today, then we rejoice with the angels because their life is made new and that one day they're going to heaven, but their life will never be the same again today here. But Lord, I pray for anybody else that hasn't quite made it yet. Would you continue to pray? Would we continue to pray for them? And would you continue to reach out to them and continue to reveal your love to them? Convict them, Lord, because we want to see them saved in Jesus' name. And guys, I also want to pray for us as Christians. I want to pray that we would take these moments. I want to pray that we would devote in ways like we've never done before. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the ways of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. They devoted themselves above their own ideas, above their own plans, above their own visions, above everything else that they had. They devoted themselves to God and to the ways of God, which is the people. Guys, this is what we need to do. If we're going to see revival, it's going to start in us. Last thing before we pray. There's no real record of that gate ever being called beautiful before this time. They reckon really where it came from was because the locals decided to call it beautiful because that day a beautiful miracle took place. It was the Eastern Gate of Jerusalem, but that day it got a brand new name. See, there's something amazing when Jesus comes in our life. There's something amazing when miracles break out. It's like things just start to change. Even the names of places start to change. That place wasn't beautiful before. It was a place where a lame man sat, and now it was a beautiful place. It was a beautiful gate because a beautiful miracle took place. Guys, it's on us. This is our time. This is our moment. It's on us to seize it. It's on us to grab it. If you're saved and you know God, let's go from. Let's grab this moment and say, I'm devoted to you, Lord. And every day I'm going to be disciplined and devoted. And I'm going after you because this is my opportunity to seize. And this is my opportunity to grab. Let's pray.